Deuteronomy 34. It says, then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old where he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. This is the last sermon of 2014. Time has surely flown. In the past several years, the last sermon of the year has served as a review of the previous year. And it seems that the most recent years, 2012, 2013, and now this year, it just seems that we always remark about how fast the time has gone. It really seems like it was just like last month that I was preaching at the end of 2013. And here I am preaching at the end of 2014. Where has all the time gone? I have a daughter who has just finished her first semester as a high school freshman. Where has the time gone? I'm looking around and I'm seeing kids who were once small little tykes and now growing into young men and young women. And in the span of a year, it seems like some of our young men have grown from singing soprano to singing bass. Praise God that we have been blessed to see the unfolding of another year. As in previous years, we celebrate so many blessings. We celebrate the way this family has grown with the addition of families who have placed their membership here by making public their decision and their desire to be family with this family. We can only pray that this year has been a thorough introduction to the family life at Reynoldsburg. We also pray that the church family will continue to be a blessing to your family and that your family will be a blessing to the church family. We experienced young men and women placing their trust and faith in God and identifying with Jesus Christ through baptism. We are honored to be able to participate in their faith journey. And we pray that your life in Christ will continue to flourish. We continue to be one of the most generous churches in terms of time and money. Your generosity has helped maintain our meeting place and minister to the poor. Your generosity has helped brothers and sisters who struggle. Your generosity has taken care of Justin and Joy Kuhn, the youth and worship minister, and also your generosity has taken care of my family. And again, I find no better time than now to thank you, the church family, for taking care of my family. Not only have you supported my family through my salary that I receive from church here, but also your constant encouragement through words, through cards, through phone calls, through emails is just a huge source of strength. And I praise God for you. And I don't know that I do this enough, but I need to thank God and praise God for my family. My wife and my two daughters put up with dad and husband at home, and they allow me to stand up in this pulpit and tell you personal stories and tell you how they love Hallmark movies and I don't, and they allow me to speak, and I go home and they don't get upset with dad, they don't get upset, they may mention it to me a little bit. But I guess I just need to publicly thank Christy and Caitlin and Kira for being so loving and supportive of my ministry and my work here. We stand in position to build upon some of the gains we experienced in 2014. We explored the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts as a way of identifying the continuing story of the Lord's church in our particular context in the 21st century. We considered ideas like joining God in the neighborhood, and as we continue to seek to live as a missional community in our part of the earth. From week to week, we attempt to experience God together in worship, in creative and engaging ways, while trying to provide a message from the Word of God that will bless us and challenge us and engage us in ways while trying to provide, again, just that extra oomph that we might need to get our week going or get us through the week, to inspire us and move us toward action. These moments we intend to continue in 2015. I pray that God will lead us to more moments of active engagement in worship and fellowship with one another and with our community. I also challenge us to bring everything to the table in worship. Rather than settling to be passive bystanders, let's seek to become active worshipers through engaging God and engaging one another. So as we close another year, I want us to go up a mountain. I want us to go to Mount Nebo. It might seem a little morbid. In this text I just read, we are taken to the death narrative of one of the greatest biblical characters we know. This is the death scene of Moses. It may not seem the best place to reflect upon, given that this body has experienced significant loss through death this year. To be honest, death took its toll on me this year, as not only we have experienced the death of so many loved ones and cherished members here, but personally, the awareness of my own mortality has been awakened. You know, maybe that is something that happens when you turn 40. I don't know. But nonetheless, we find ourselves at the end of Moses' life. Moses was the chosen prophet, leader, to lead God's people out of Egypt. For 400 painful years, the Jews suffered the ills and pain of slavery and oppression. Part of their identity was swallowed up in Egypt. They were compelled to work from sun up to sundown. They were the victims of systematic infanticide as the Pharaoh tried to control the population of the Israelites. And in their affliction, they cried out to Yahweh. They cried out to God, and he heard them. He acted on their behalf. He selected Moses to lead an exodus out of Egypt. The Exodus was a story of God's intention to fulfill the promises made to Abraham. He told Abraham that he would lead his descendants to their own land. He would lead them to a place flowing with milk and honey. It would be their land. Israel would be his people, and Yahweh would be their God. Through a series of events and storylines full with action and intrigue and mystery and setbacks, the Israelites find themselves on the verge of entering the promised land at Canaan. And you would expect the man who led Israel out of Egypt to lead the Israelites into the promised land, but that will not be the case. You see, Moses was disobedient, and his disobedience would prove to be the reason God would not let him in to the promised land. But the Lord took Moses up on this mountain, and Moses was able to see the land, the text says, and the Lord showed him the whole land. Now, I don't know what to think about that. All that Moses had done for the Israelites, and at the end of his life, he was allowed to look but not go. No, don't put a pan of ooey, gooey, chocolatey brownies in front of me and say, you can look, but you can't taste it. That's just wrong. I don't want to just look. I want to experience the ooeyness and the gooeyness and the chocolatiness of these brownies. Don't tell me all I get to do is look. I've earned my seat at the table. I've earned not only to look at these brownies, but to pick them up and taste them and get chocolate all over my face from eating this ooeyness and this gooeyness. I don't know what to think about God taking a man who has spent several years leading his people, dealing with these stiff-necked people, leading these people that doubted him and argued with him, and all he was doing was, I mean, here's a guy that God was ready to kill these people, right? And Moses begs God and says, please don't kill them. Please don't do it. All that Moses did, and he got to look, but he couldn't go in. Seems cruel to me that someone was allowed to look but not touch or experience. Not to mention, the text says that Moses, even at age 120, was in pretty good health. The greatness of Moses was not understated. Again, the text says unequivocally that there was never anyone like Moses. Verse number 10 of 34 says, never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. And for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of Israel. But while this concluding chapter seems to be about Moses, I would suggest that it's about something more. You see, while we are drawn to remember Moses for all that he did and all that he accomplished, we are also thrust into wondering what comes next. We may be tempted to die on the mountain with Moses, but that is not the intent of that text. The text mentions Joshua, the successor of Moses. So if you turn the page from the end of Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 12, to the next page, the beginning, the book of Joshua, we read this in chapter 1 of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of life, or book of law, shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There is some benefit to look back and remember Moses, just as long as it doesn't consume the experience. There is work to do. There is land to be getting. There is milk and honey to be enjoying. There is a new land to be lived on. There are new stories to be written. It's good to honor the past, but there is a future to be experienced. So we honor the past, but we don't worship the past. Church, don't miss that. It's okay to honor the past, but not okay to worship the past. There are new adventures to be lived. Do we want to be Moses on the mountain who just looks at the land? Or do we want to be Joshua and the rest of Israel who goes into the land to live? Church, do we want to be a church that just looks at a pan of brownies? Or do we want to jump in and eat those brownies? Perhaps this is where we stand at the end of 2014, on the verge of 2015. Perhaps we are on Mount Nebo, looking at a promised land of blessing. What do you see, church? As you look across the land that God has given us, what do you see? Is it all right if I tell y'all what I see? Can I tell y'all what I see? You see, men and women coming to Jesus Christ to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what I see? I see the church actively engaged in the neighborhood that we live in and the neighborhood where this church resides. You see, I see marriages getting stronger. I see children living their own faith, not the faith of their parents. I see the church becoming an epicenter for dialogue on issues plaguing our society. I see the church dealing with theological issues honestly and faithfully. I see churches cooperating with one another in the kingdom of God. I see men and women in here listening to God's call for them to minister in various ways. I see this body actively engaged in ways to improve our edifice in order to reach more people. Church, I see the promised land, but unlike Moses, I can see it and I can go to it. And I can experience it. We can experience it as a body. We don't have to die having not lived. Like previous years, this year was marked with challenges. The questions looming over our hearts today is, do we want to go to that land? Do we have the faith to possess that land? Do we want to look and say, that's nice, that's beautiful, and then we die? Or do we want to say, look, that's beautiful, that's nice, let's go take it? Church, it will take faith, it will take courage, and it will take the presence of God. I'm so glad God told Joshua, I will be with you wherever you go. We are emerging out of a season of Advent, a season of waiting. And throughout this season, we were reminded that God is Emmanuel. He is with us. Well, that's not just a promise for the Christmas season. That's not just a promise that we can experience during the end of November and all through December. This is a promise that we live 365 days of the year, 24 hours a day, 168 hours in the week, you know, 525,600 minutes in a year. We experience God's presence every single day. God is telling us in so many ways, I am with you. I am here with you, as a way to remind us that God is here with us, that he is amongst us, that he wants to bless us, that he wants us to come to a full understanding of his abiding presence. He is here with us. See, we're prone to think that the only time we can sing about Emmanuel, Emmanuel, or God with us is during Christmas. But this is a promise that has been the promise since the dawn of creation. God is with us. God was with the Israelites when they went into the promised land. God was with the Israelites as they took possession of what God has promised them. And God is going to be with us in 2015. So then, let us get off the mountain and go into the land. Let's get off the mountain and get active in our faith. Let's get off the mountain and read scripture and listen to what it says and do what it says, even if we don't agree with it. Let's get off the mountain and aspire to be great through serving. Let's get off the mountain and commit to participate in kingdom work at Reynoldsburg. Let's get off the mountain and worship the Lord in all that we do. Let's get off the mountain and let's live like Jesus. Let's get off the mountain and let's love like Jesus. Let's get off the mountain and pray like we believe God is listening. Let's get off the mountain and open our hearts to what God is telling us. Let's get off the mountain and prepare to be blessed wherever we go, because the Lord is with us. And with God's leading, we intend to get off the mountain in 2015. We're not Moses. We're Joshua and Joshuettes. It's time for us to go into the land and do our thing, church. It's not enough to just look and say, that would be nice. It's time to say, I'm living it and it is nice. It's going to take faith. It's going to take courage. You know, what churches of Christ are good at, one of the things that we have always been good at, is preaching and talking a good game. It's time to do and be active and match the talk game. Is that all right, church? It's not enough to sit here and plan and talk about what we can do. It's time for us to listen to God and say, this is what you are and this is what you're going to do, and I'm going to bless it because I'm with you. Let's do it. 2015, it's got to be a year where we're active. It's got to be a year where we're committed. It's got to be a year where we participate. It's got to be a year where we take God's word seriously. It's got to be a year where we understand that he's with us. It's got to be a year where we tell everyone else that God can be with them. It's got to be a year where we're not afraid to get into text and study hard stuff. It's got to be a year where we have to have hard discussions. It's got to be a year where we got to spend some money. It's got to be a year where we got to give more. It's got to be a year where we participate more. It's got to be a year where we come to church more. We got to get active. Let's get off the mountain, church. It's time for us to move and possess the land. We're not Moses. We're Joshua and Joshuettes. Let's pray. God, thank you for your abiding presence. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for displaying your power and your presence in so many ways. God, I hear the stories of you being present in the lives of so many people. I hear the stories. I see the stories. God, I see the new chapters that you're writing in the lives of individuals in here. God, I see the chapters that you're writing in the story of our church. God, there is so much to do. There is so much to learn. There's so much to possess. There's so much to be experienced. And God, we know that we can't experience that standing on a mountain and looking. God, we've got to come down the mountain. We've got to go into the land and we've got to possess it. And God, there'll be enemies there. There'll be the enemy saying we can't do it. There'll be the enemy saying that you can't do that. You haven't done that before. There'll be the enemy there saying, don't do that. It's scary. There'll be the enemy there saying, don't do that. You're going to hurt people's feelings. God, defeat the enemy for us. We're going into the land. We're committing this Sunday, the last Sunday of 2014, to get off the mountain and to go into the land and to possess it. Father, we see so many things that we can be doing. We see so many opportunities for us to get involved in. God, I pray that you would lead us by the Holy Spirit to be active participants in the renewal of this world and the redemption of this world. God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for saying yes to us. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your compassion, your mercy. God, we thank you for your leading. Lead us in 2015. God, help us to see what you see. Help us to feel what you feel. Help us to hear what you hear. God, use us. We are your hands. We are your feet. We're coming off the mountain and we're going into the land. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that you will have a blessed, prosperous 2015. I pray that your families do well. I pray that you do well on your jobs. If you're retired, I pray that you will enjoy your retirement. If you're pregnant, I pray that you will have a healthy baby girl or boy or girl, and boy, if you haven't twins, I don't know. I pray that if you're intending to get married next year, that you have a wonderful coming together. I just pray that God would just shower you with so many blessings. But in addition to all of that, I pray that God will use this church in this community to do a fantastic and powerful work, things that we have never seen before. God, people, put your seatbelts on. And expect the unexpected. Don't expect what you used to expect. Don't lower standards. Put standards up here. Expect God to do something great and powerful in this body here and in this neighborhood. Are you with me? I mean, I don't know. Some of y'all looking at me like, I don't get you, Dion. If you don't get me, let's talk about this later on. Because this is serious stuff here, church. You've heard me preach this stuff before, but I'm telling you, I'm just serious. I'm sold out. I just think that God, this is our moment, church. We got to come off the mountain. We got to possess this land. Is that all right? Is that all right, church? You can say amen, because if you don't, these lights gonna start shouting in a second. We'll stand up in just a second. We'll sing an invitation song. If there's anything that the church can do for you, pray for you, spend time with you, read the Bible with you, study with you, talk to you about some important issues, some issues you have doubts about. We're family. We want to talk about it. We will not judge you. That's not our job. That's God's job. Our job is to listen. Our role is to listen, and hopefully God will put us in a position to minister to you however we can. If there's anything that we can do for you, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to make a profession of faith, you want to be baptized, you want to end this year right and start the next year the right way, we'll provide that ministry for you as well. So let's stand and let's sing this song.